Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
One of the things I think that's really important for moms to understand is how to communicate effectively with males.
I think he wants to communicate.
Because moms are so proficient at verbal communication, they tend to process emotions, they tend to process information through verbal communication, but males don't. We tend to process emotions, process information through physical activity. And so I talk to moms about, first of all, speaking in soundbite type sentences to their boys, because really, after about 30 seconds, our minds kind of shut down. It's that problem-solving computer in our brain. If we don't find a problem within about 30 seconds, we're shutting down looking for a problem, right?
Mom, if you take our cartoons away, we'll grow up without a sense of humor and be robots.
Really? What kind of robots?
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment here, we're going to get into part one of a two-part conversation with author Rick Johnson. Rick's written a book called That's My Teenage Son, and we're going to talk about a mom's influence on a boy's journey into manhood. Rick is the founder and the president of BetterDads.net. It's a great outreach that started with him giving these talks to helping single moms, especially as they're raising their kids. Today's program is going to wander into some territory that's probably not suitable for young children. So if you have kids with you and you're listening to us on the radio, go ahead and shut this down. Go to our website or sign up for our podcast. We'll give you that subscription information in just a moment. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Delighted today to have Rick Johnson with us. We're going to talk about a mom's influence on a boy's journey to manhood. Rick is a popular speaker. He's author of a number of great books, and he's the founder of Better Dads. It's a fathering skills program designed to inspire and equip men to be more engaged in the lives of their children. And yet we're going to talk today about moms, and Rick has a lot to say. I just finished his brand new book. It's called That's My Teenage Son: How Moms Can Influence Their Boys to Become Good Men. And Rick and his wife live in Oregon. They have two adult children. Rick, welcome to our broadcast.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. My pleasure.
It's been a long time. I've been wanting you to get here, and here we finally get you. You know, Betty Davis said, if you have never been hated by your child, you have never been a parent. Perhaps that should be the motto of every parent who has ever tried to raise a teenage boy. I want you to talk about what makes young men such a challenge at times to their parents.
Well, I think especially for moms, especially if they have not been raised with a dad, maybe they didn't have brothers growing up, sometimes even if dad's not around or is working too much or something like that, a lot of moms talk to me and they're like, well, you know, who are these strange animals? These are completely different creatures. And I think really what we want to do through this book and some of our other programs is to really help moms to understand what masculinity looks like, what some of the things are that causes males to act the way they do, think the way they do, have the emotions that they do. Because a lot of times they're diametrically opposed to the way God created females.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I was reading in your book and I was thinking back to my mom. There's four boys in our family. And then now I have three daughters.
Mm.
But, you know, my mom was emotional and she nurturing. I mean, all these amazing qualities that back then I had no idea. We were killing her as guys because mm-hmm. it was just, you know, it was rough and tumble and sports and, you know, grunts and how are you doing and fine. And, you know, here she was probably looking for a little bit more. You know, what advice do you give to these moms when they're saying, you know, who is this creature?
Well, one of the things I think that's really important for moms to understand is how to communicate effectively with males. Talk a lot in the book about how to do that. And because moms are so proficient at verbal communication, you know, they tend to process emotions, they tend to process information through verbal communication, but males don't. We tend to process emotions, process information through physical activity. And so I talked a lot to moms about, first of all, speaking in soundbite type sentences to their boys, because really, after about 30 seconds, our minds kind of shut down. It's that problem-solving computer in our brain. If we don't find a problem within about 30 seconds, we're shutting down looking for a problem, right? But the other thing is, if they need to talk with a longer type of a communication with them, you know, go for a walk with them, go out and shoot hoops, something like that, right, where they're doing a physical activity. Much more easily for males to process information.
Yeah. Well, you know, and moms need to hear that. Dads need to hear that too.
I oftentimes say to a dad, if you'll shoot hoops with your son, you're probably going to get a lot more out of your son in terms of good conversation than if you sit across from the table and, you know, pull out a list of things about homework and problems and curfew and things like that. And so in many ways, what a mom is going to learn, a dad also has to remember what it was like when they were that age too.
And especially dads and boys, I think just the very presence is important. A lot of times easier for males to communicate without even talking to each other. We can just be out, we can just be doing things. But again, it's that natural flow of conversation. In other words, a lot of times I know women want to sit down, they want to be eye to eye. Well, that can be very intimidating for a male, because to be across the table for eye to eye from somebody who's so much more proficient than they are can be intimidating. I've told my wife many times, just because you can articulate yourself better than I can doesn't mean you're always right. She probably is always right, but that's not the point. It's very frustrating for me as a male, right?
No, that's interesting. And even I was thinking about it while you were talking. I was thinking about even my relationship with my wife, Kathy. When we were dating, I would write her a note. You know, remember those things? There were these little white pieces of paper you'd write. Now we call it email and whatnot, but I would write her a note and it would say, you know, I would try to make it even a love note and it might be two sentences long. And then she'd come back with, you know, I woke up this morning and I had for breakfast. And then she, you know, it'd be at eight pages and I'm looking through this going, oh my goodness, I just didn't know how to handle it. But, you know, things change. You know, a lot of times with a mom, you know, their little boy is their huggy kid and he's just so wonderful. And all of a sudden puberty reaches, you know, comes to place into their life and they become a teenager and they don't understand. I mean, give us a snapshot of what's taking place as they're starting to enter puberty.
Well, I think I relate it to Lon Chaney turning into the Wolfman in the movie. And it is really, as all these hormones, especially testosterone, now is flooding him. He's getting 10 to 25 times the amount of testosterone that the average female has at that age. It causes huge changes, causes behaviors like being more aggressive. You know, we look at boys, especially teenage boys, and I love watching the teenage boy down the street on the cul-de-sac that we live on. He's just a wild man. He's just constantly out there revving his engine and racing around and getting into trouble. And really what it is if you look at the animal world, God created male animals to have all this colorful plumage to attract females. Well, with the adult male, it causes teenage boys to act out in ways that would attract females' attention to him so that he can procreate. And I think that's, you know, that's the way teenage boys are made. They like risk, they like danger, they like loudness. And so do grown men. I mean, there's really not a lot of difference between a 13-year-old boy and a grown man other than we're a little bit more housebroken probably than the average 13-year-old is.
Well, you know, you're so right, because a lot of men, same thing. You know, they're trying to, you know, still find amazing adventure and things like that. With a kid, a lot of times a mom is nervous because even, and you mentioned this in your book, but, you know, the frontal cortex of the brain isn't fully developed. And so sometimes boys will make incredibly unwise decisions. Like the boy the other day on our block who was standing on the car as the car is driving by and they're going kind of slow, but he's standing on the car. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Now, that was going to drive his mother crazy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
How does a mom try to keep the kids safe and at the same time let them have a little adventure?
Well, and moms struggle with that, I think, because of their nurturing nature. One of the things that I talk with moms a lot about, you know, and there's a fine line between keeping them safe, but the other thing is that moms need to be real careful to control that nurturing nature. And that's why it's good to have dad around to kind of offset that. Because here's the problem that we see a lot of, particularly with like single moms. They tend to be a little bit overprotective of their sons. They never allow them to fail. They never allow them to get hurt. Well, males in particular learn best. And we develop healthy self-esteem through making mistakes, through getting back up, through persevering until we succeed. And when we allow boys to not do that, when we rescue them too often, boys can learn to quit. Well, that can become a lifelong habit. The problem with that is the hardest thing in life, being married, hardest thing in life, raising a family. A boy that's learned to quit, what happens when marriage gets tough? He leaves. What happens when raising a family gets hard? He leaves. Working at a job he hates to feed his family, he quits. So those are the kind of things I think that we need to be careful about with our boys.
You know, you mentioned single moms, and we have a lot of single moms who listen to this broadcast. And I find that they're some of the unsung heroes. They're amazing, amazing people. You know, I'd vote for them for president. I mean, they're just incredible. At the same time, a lot of single moms say, I'm not sure what to do with this kid. I want to teach my son to be a man, But you know what? I'm not a man. I mean, right. What kind of advice do you give to a single mom in that case?
Well, I talk a lot with moms about the importance of needing positive male role models in their sons' lives. And you know what? To their credit, I think they all know that. Mm-hmm. But they all say to me, well, where do we find these guys? Mm-hmm. And great question. And I've had a lot of them. Previously, I would tell them things like, you know, brothers and uncles and grandfathers and coaches and male teachers. And even the guy down the street, if he's a good man, you know, go to him and his mm-hmm. wife both mm-hmm. and say, the next time you take your kids to the game, can you ask my boy to go? Or the next time you mow the lawn, can you ask him to come over and help? It's not being this great wise mentor as much as it is just a boy seeing how a man thinks, acts, and solves problems. I used to also tell them, you know, even if you don't go to church, go to your local church, ask to talk to the men's pastor, biblical mandate to reach out to widows and orphans in the community. And I started getting these women calling me in tears because they couldn't get past the gatekeeper, or if they did talk to the men's pastor, he was sympathetic, but really had nothing in place to be able to help them. And in fairness to the church, I think they're aware of the problem. I think they're just overwhelmed by the magnitude of it. So we've worked a lot with churches on helping them to develop mentoring programs where they can get men involved with hanging out with some of these fatherless boys.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things, my background is youth ministry, and one of the things that I always appreciate about youth ministry is that a mom can go to the youth pastor. Now, this is not a dad figure sometimes. It's more of a big brother figure, but a lot of times the youth pastor will do a really good job, or they can bring somebody else in. So, you know, there is that awareness, and I think a lot of times people in youth ministry understand it even better sometimes than some of the other areas of the church. We're going to come back in just a moment. Rick Johnson with us. We're talking today about a mom's influence on a boy's journey to manhood. And when we come back, I want to talk about sexual development. Just how can a mom have a sex talk with her teenage son? We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns.
And boy, Jim, that is becoming more common, especially as not only the number of single moms having to try to do the mom and dad role when it comes to boys moving into that part of the manhood journey, but also, too, just a difference, in the boys getting mom's opinion. I mean, it's important to hear the talk from dad, but also to get a little feedback from mom as well. And so we'll encourage you to stay with us through the break, and we'll hear the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast in just a moment. Rick Johnson is our guest in studio. We're talking about a mom's influence on a boy's journey into manhood. More Homeward in just a moment.
The word for the day is authenticity. This is Jim Burns of Homeward with Real Life Answers. I'm finding that this generation is crying out for integrity and authenticity. Well, that can be sobering news for the church because many studies at the same time are telling us that authentic Christianity is at an all-time low. Here's what that means. If you say, I believe in Jesus, well, there should be a difference between your life and someone who doesn't believe. As followers of Jesus, you should not always blend in totally to the culture. You'll see that in the way we conduct our businesses, how we treat our spouses, and frankly, how we raise our children. The Bible says that an authentic Christian loves and obeys the Word of God. It's what being authentic is all about. I love what the Apostle John wrote at the end of his life. He said, little children, do not love with words or with your tongue, but love in deed, in action, in truth. In other words, actions speak louder than words. With Real Life Answers, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Rick Johnson with us, a mom's influence on a boy's journey to manhood. We probably should talk more about this at Homeward. Probably don't talk enough about it. Young boys today are struggling with how do you become a man? And oftentimes, I heard this said when I was speaking for Promise Keepers many years ago, that they would say, you know, a man is not a man until his father tells him so. But frankly, there's a lot of times when dad's not there or dad's not involved in it, and mom has to take the lead as well. One of the things, Rick, and I mentioned this right before the break, is the area of sex and sexuality. I mean, obviously, it's great when a dad can take his son fishing or they can go to the ball game and they can have some of these, you know, man-to-man talks, but that's not always the case. Or, you know, we also need a woman's view on this. So, you know, a boy, you mentioned testosterone starts just pouring into their life at puberty. You know, how does a mom have the kind of conversation about sexual development, and what does she talk about?
Well, I'm a big proponent, Jim, on talking about issues before they become issues. And so, for instance, with our kids, we wanted to start talking with them about different things pretty early in life at a level that they were comfortable with. about changes that maybe were going to be coming up, particularly as they were getting ready to enter into puberty. And I think that's very healthy for moms to do. Now, you know, there are areas that masturbation, things like that, that probably would be pretty uncomfortable for mom to have a conversation with their son with. Same like there's things that would be very uncomfortable for me as a father to have a conversation with my daughter with. Nonetheless, if they don't have a positive male role model involved in their lives, it's better to hear that from somebody that loves and cares about them than it is to get that information from the street or somewhere that doesn't care about
Absolutely.
Them, movies or something like that. And so I think, you know, you bring up a hugely valid point in that boys in particular really need to understand a female's perspective on what healthy female sexuality looks like, because so much of what they get in the media today is unhealthy. And so that's a huge role that mom plays, is to help her son to understand what healthy female sexuality looks like.
Yeah. You know, it really is an important thing. And women ask me this all the time. The single moms will say, you know, is it better for somebody else to give this talk, or should I? And I say, actually, I think you build dialogue, mm-hmm. and it's not a either or, it's both and.
Right.
So when you can find somebody who can have that talk about a sensitive subject, you mentioned masturbation, other issues. Of course, there's a lot of dads who struggle with having that conversation mm-hmm. with their sons too.
Right.
But it is important for us to have that. And I just say, sometimes moms have to take the lead in that. But also, a mom can, as you just said, a mom can teach their sons how to treat a woman right.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully a dad will teach them by treating their mom right and other women as well. Spiritually speaking, you know, again, it's wonderful when dad is present to be able to speak spiritually in the life of the kids, to be a role model. That's not always the case. Sometimes dads might say, well, you know, that's the woman's job. You know, you can go to church to his wife, bring the kids, that's fine. You know, after a while, the guys get to be teenagers and they're saying, well, you know, dad's not going and
right.
it's looking pretty fun what he does on Sunday morning mm-hmm. playing golf or whatever. What kind of advice do you give to a mom who maybe either has a husband who's not as spiritually nurturing or spiritually involved or frankly is gone?
Well, and I think that's a huge issue in many, many moms' lives. You know, we have young men, high school, college age, that are leaving the churches in droves. And then that's the big question all around the country when I travel around, is how do we get it back? How do we stop them from leaving? One of the challenges, I think, and moms, like you said, have been taking them since they were little kids. And then all of a sudden they get to be teenagers. Now they don't want to go, particularly right. if dad's not going. And it is a huge problem. I think one of the challenges, one of the problems that the church doesn't capitalize in is to exemplify and lift up masculinity for the gloriousness that it is. I mean, if you look at some of the men in the Bible, there are some huge stories that are so attractive to, whether it's David or Joshua or whoever,
right.
attractive to boys and men.
Right.
And instead, we tend to focus on this mild and meek and nice kind of a atmosphere of Jesus himself. I mean, the epitome of masculinity. And I think if we made things more attractive, our church is very involved in getting men and boys together, whether they're related or not, just out doing masculine stuff, whether it's shooting guns or camping or fishing or whatever. And I think if moms can get their sons involved in that kind of stuff early on, it helps them to understand that church is not just for girls.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I just had a woman ask me this, and I'll ask you what you would say about it. But she said, you know, Jim, my son and I don't connect. He's involved in stuff that I'm not all that interested in. I'm involved in stuff that he's not that interested in. I mean, he's a teenager, number one, so a lot of times he's not connected to mom or dad. He's moving from dependence to independence. But a lot of times moms will say, I really want to connect. It's just not happening. What kind of practical advice could you give us?
Yeah. And the same thing that I tell dads with their sons or daughters is that I think we need to find areas that we can relate to our kids on their level at. It might not be something that I want to do mm-hmm. particularly. The other thing is to find opportunities. For instance, with my daughter, she went through that stage. She didn't want to talk. It was very hard to talk to her. But I found opportunities where I could take her to basketball practice, pick her up and in the car. And I basically would just sit and listen. And I would just say, oh, really? Or how do you feel about that? And same with my son. You know, find opportunities, find physical activities to go find things that he likes to do. Not necessarily things that I like to do, but things where he could feel comfortable with.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I think a lot of times we think that they should come into our territory mm-hmm. when in fact we need to go to their territory. I've found a common thing for my daughters, but I think it's really even bigger probably for guys, where I have my best conversations with my daughters is over a meal.
Mm.
You know, if we can just put a meal in front, for some reason, relaxes them. They'll start talking about stuff that they wouldn't talk about if it's in a more formal setting. And I think for guys, I mean, you know, guys, what is it? It's food.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal. So again, I oftentimes say to mom, hey, take him out for a burger and you have your salad. Let him eat his burger and do the exact same thing you're talking about. Just listen.
Well, and I think especially, you know, moms can do this. We felt it was important for our kids to have their friends over at our house.
Right.
We could be influenced. And one of the biggest ways with teenage boys was to feed them. And so we would always have a pizza. We'd always have whatever.
Right.
And it was amazing how often we had teenage boys roaming around our house all the time.
Yeah. No, and that's a huge practical way that you know, they don't. And every conversation is going to be a great conversation.
Right.
It's just, the power of being there.
And that's what moms, I think, need to realize is oftentimes maybe a conversation that they don't think has relevance absolutely does to a boy, to a male. We're not as deep as you think we are, right?
That's right. That's a good parenting advice. It's also, by the way, my good listeners here, good marriage advice as well. You remind parents in your book, and especially moms, that boys need to learn to make decisions using principles and not necessarily always using feelings. Talk about why that's important.
Well, and I think females are designed to use feelings and use emotions to make decisions. And that's maybe okay, but I don't think it's good for males to learn to make decisions based on their feelings. I think we need to make decisions based on principles. I'll give you a quick example of what that looks like. When my son was in sixth grade, he came to me and he wanted to join the wrestling team. Now, I wrestled all through high school into college, brutal sport, okay? And my son, God bless him, he's a great kid, but he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, okay? And so, you know, we wanted our kids, if they wanted to try something, we wanted to let them do it, but they weren't going to quit, okay? They were going to at least stay the season. So I talked to him about doing push-ups, doing sit-ups, all the things that were going to happen, doing hundreds of running up and down stairs, getting his face slammed into the mat, all those kinds of things. No, I still want to do it. I said, okay, well, you're not going to quit, okay? Well, wrestling is weight, not age. So sixth grade, Frank's big boy, he's wrestling eighth grade boys in practice. Well, he's coming home beaten, battered, bruised, comes to me crying with tears in his eyes one day. He says, Dad, the older boys are hurting me. I just don't want to get hurt anymore. Can I quit? It was breaking my heart. It's like, what am I going to do, you know? And to make matters worse, someone was giving me the look over here, right? Like, you know, this is our baby. You're going to be sleeping with the dog for the next month if this goes poorly.
That's right.
So I struggled. I said, look, you know, we talked about this. Okay, you're not going to quit. You're going to have to figure out a way to man up and deal with this. So he had his first match a couple weeks later and paired up with a young man about his age, his size. And for the first, two rounds and minute and 10 seconds of the third round, this other boy was throwing him around the ring like a puppy with a chew toy. His main defense seemed to be this turtle posture that he'd probably learned from wrestling eighth graders. And with about 10 seconds left, this other boy, apparently exhausted from throwing him around the ring, kind of stood up and fell over backwards in a faint. And Frank jumped up and ran over and pinned him with about 3 seconds to go, right?
Good job, Frank.
Yeah, so now he's dancing around the ring like Muhammad Ali, right? But we made eye contact across the mat, and I could see that he had learned that valuable lesson of not quitting and the rewards that come from that. And so I think sometimes it's hard for us to do that and to hold them to that, but I think it's extremely important, especially for boys, to learn and recognize that perseverance is really one of the things that makes life worth living.
Boy, that's great. Perseverance makes life worth living. And also, as a parent, sometimes we've got to be able to persevere. Time is up. Thanks so much, Rick. Great conversation. We've got to have you come back so we can keep talking about this.
Great. Love to. Thanks.
Great. Again, Rick Johnson, excellent book. That's My Teenage Son, How Moms Can Influence Their Boys to Become Good Men. And I have to be honest, I read the book and I've got daughters and I'm a man, but I learned a lot. It's good stuff. Roger?
Rick is so very, very practical, and we have a link on our website today at homeward.com. If you go to the radio broadcast section, you'll find a link to Rick's website at betterdads.net, and also all the different books that he's just literally writing a new book every 6 months, it seems like. But this is That's My Teenage Son is one that's very helpful for the reasons that Dr. Jim Burns just mentioned, and it's a book that we highly recommend here at Homeward. Also, if you've got a teenage son at home, whether you are a dad or a mom, we highly recommend Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. The teenage years turn your kid into kind of a weirdo. I mean, sometimes you just don't know who this child is that's living in your home. And the Teenology book from Dr. Jim Burns will really help you kind of sort through some of the weird places in that adolescent development season. If you'd like to order a copy of Teenology and support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time, visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.